Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White.
Join me now, won't you?
And relax now.
Here with.
Relax so much that you fall asleep.
Time travel.
Of inspiration.
Wake up with a jerk because you think
grabbing
you're
falling. Grabbing all of
your balls.
Grab a cigarette stick. Your face. And you'll say, well, that's where it's
hot. Places that we don't normally go.
I don't know what the capers represent, but sometimes life is like a pickled, salty little flower.
I say, ow.
Earwig.
The third.
Oh, it's all the same show. Oh, my friends, it's all the same show. What was that I just heard? That sounded like a scramble or something, but it was oddly cogent. Well, I tell you what, I took a bunch of introductions from this Miracle Nutrition, and I overlaid them. Now, where did you get that idea? So I was looking on the internet, and somebody had taken about six of these new country songs, or you could call them bro country. What does bro stand for? Broken, I think. But it's this new country music. Now, I don't listen to much of it, not because I don't like it, but I'm trying to listen to all country music. So I've started at the beginning, and then I'm working my way up. I've done this with literature, too. This is why I've only, my knowledge of literature stops at the early 19th century. But it's the same way with country music. So I'm just now into the 20s and 30s. But this is a new style of country music. You know, they're always inventing new things, and it's exciting when they do. So they've taken this. Now, how is the new country different from the old? And I would say, well, there's a couple things that jump out at me. One is that they're heavily influenced vocally by the character of Festus on Gunsmoke. And you can hear that. If you're old enough to remember that fantastic television show, Gunsmoke, the way it was in the Old West. So Festus's character went around, say, hey, Matthew, Sheriff, like that. Fantastic. And so that vocal style has now been, you know how there's trends in vocal singing. That one is now dominant. So you would say, "May that's how I roll, Matthew," like that in the Festus new country singing. And I think it's delightful. But somebody took it, put all of these six hit songs together, and they say, listen how they fit together. Just like Jenga blocks or something, and when you put into or Legos or Duplo or something or anything that you would fit together in blocks like that Erector set. Did you ever have one of those? Those are dangerous. We used to have when I was a child. We had Erector sets, and they were metal strips with tiny little screws. And what you would do is you would eat the screws and then poke the metal thing into your eye. A lot of people would make structures out of them. I had no idea. Like that. I was more of a Lincoln log fella. Say, oh, these Lincoln logs are good. I'm going to throw them at the dog. I've never been very good with construction. I like to build things, but boy, they don't come out right all the time. So this person took this, and I thought, you know, I bet my show is the same show over and over again. And you say, well, they sound different. To me, Hardy, but you're right, there's a lot of overlap, a lot of the same themes, because I'm the same person doing it, you see. And I do have consistent messages that I want to get across. One is, oh, my friends, we don't have all the time in the world. This life is precious, and I like to treat it that way. I like to treat it as if everything is very delicate and breakable. I try to walk through the world as if I'm in the delicate breakable section of a department store. Things you shouldn't say. Don't touch anything or buy anything or look at it. There are some things so fragile that merely by looking at them, you can destroy them with your eyes. We know that from physics now. If you've ever done that in what you call Schlesinger's box or anything, you open that up, and go, oh, I've killed the cat by looking at it. And this can happen. And so it also can happen with tchotchkes, apparently, if they're very thin glass. You've seen people break glasses with their voice. I'm going to shatter it with this high-frequency voice. Matthew! Crack! And then all the shot glasses, but this would happen in the saloon in Gunsmoke. Festus would walk in there and he'd say, I like... And all the glasses would shatter.
And that's because there are we don't see a lot of the waves and the things that affect our lives. They are invisible. Also, there's tiny little mischievous ghosts of children running around. And on their chests, it's imprinted, not me.
I know you say you stole that from Family Circus.
That's because a lot of what you see there is, I feel like it's true, especially their whole ghost hierarchy. Have you ever been told you got something wrong like that? Say, you don't know your ghosts. Say, I'm sorry, they're invisible. That's why I'm having a hard time classifying them. I have a book that shows me the silhouettes of different World War II airplanes, so should they fly over, I could, but there's no such book for ghosties, especially the kind that look like not me, that are kind of just look like the dead Pillsbury Doughboy or something. Even he has to die. You know, just because you're the Michelin man doesn't mean that you're not going to pass away. Just because you're made of vulcanized rubber does not mean that you're immune from the sands of time. And the sands of time are not just laying there. They're blasting out of a gun like they're wiping graffiti off a wall. And that's you. You are graffiti. Some of you are beautiful graffiti. Some of you are just a tag that says poopster or something like that. But that's okay, too. Oh, I wish I could write my name in triangular letters that overlapped and interlocked. I cannot. I have different talents in this life. My talent, one of them, is bringing soup to people. Say, I feel like it's the cure of everything. I'm going to bring you some soup, and I'll do it. Say, well, I got, you know, got terminal brain cancer and all. I'll say, well, soup won't hurt, will it? And say, well, what kind of soup is it? I say, poison. And say, well, no, that's not. That will hurt. I stand corrected. No, no, but I choked on that. Oh, I feel like sometimes the Lord punishes me mid-show for being cheeky. Say, oh, the Lord doesn't punish. That's what those little tiny menacing ghosts are for. You're right. Sometimes it'll just manifest itself as an uncomfortable itch. You go, man, I got to get some fast acting tonight. But it's really just a little, sometimes it's just a tiny little ghost poking pine needles into your genitals. You see, that's what it feels like, because that's what it is. Are the pine needles alive, or are they too dead? Oh, friend, they are also dead. A lot of the pine needles that you see just out like the pine straw, dead. All dead. Now, I know you say, oh, that's a Queen song. Dead, all the dreams I had, lubba-da-bubba-da-booby-da-doo, all dead. I think the drummer wrote it. That's why I don't remember it very well. But I tell you what, oh, friends, we're all in this same boat called life. It used to be called Norwegian Princess. And then before that, it was a World War II ambulance ship. But now it's just the boat of life. And I know that has some smells vaguely rotten. And that's because a lot of us on this boat are rocking it. It seems that a great deal of us have gone to one side of the boat. I'm just going to say starboard, and started jumping up and down on it, trying to tip it over. Say, what are you thinking? They go, we got to tip over this boat and wreck it. And you ask why. And they say, because we're going to be, then we'll be on a fabulous golden boat made of wishes. Say, I don't think so, man. I think what will happen is that we will drown, or sharks will eat us, or both, or the trifecta, which is a little bit eaten, a little bit drowned, and hypothermia. But I don't want to go there. I say, come on now, everybody on the Lido deck, meeting! I want to stand up and say, I'm not your cruise director. I'm not your captain. I'm not the purser. I'm not the purser. Do I look like the purser, the assistant purser? You're doing that thing where you like a word and you say it all over again, over and over again. I know, because I'm the buoy purser. But I'm none of those things. I'm simply a fellow passenger who won this cruise in a contest. And I'm here to say I'm glad to be here and think that we are blessed. And look at the abundance of food. It never stops. Look at that ice sculpture. Looks like your mom. Look at that shrimp cocktail. Looks like your dad. And I say, how lucky we are. Why are you wanting to capsize the ship? And so if you see somebody jumping up and down, the first thing you do, try not to take them by force. We have to distract them. That's where I'm coming from, is try to distract them, land. You say, where are you from, Hardy? I can't place the accent. You say, I'm from, look, like that. Now what? And I run away. And that's, I think, you see, distraction is underrated. I do not engage in science. I love science. And I really should have gone into it, but for a couple weaknesses, a lot of them intellectual. But there's also character weaknesses. But I don't, you know, I know a good thing from a bad thing, and I have I think in poetic ways. And I'll tell you how that's different than science, for instance. I know, like, if I was going to go to a restaurant, I don't like to go to gimmicky restaurants. You know, with any kind of serve yourself. There's ones that you come in, they say, all right, the first thing you go is you go to this station, and we'll give you a rifle, and you hunt your protein. So you hunt, you could shoot the tofu or shrimp or whatever. And then you go to the next. I don't like all that. Just say, hey, you got grilled cheese sandwich on the menu? Kindly bring me one. Recently, I went to this restaurant. It was all-you-can-eat spaghetti. But you have to sit at a table with five philosophers, and you have to share forks. Say, this is why I did not go into computer science. That, and I'm an idiot. But I can take something like that. A problem. So what is that problem? So computer scientist now, you're dying. You're going, I know what he's talking about. Thank you, but let me tell everybody. So I'll take something like the dining philosopher's problem that I don't understand and make it part of my poetic universe. See, in science, you arrive at the truth by going and looking for evidence. And in poetry, you say, I'm just going to assume I have all the evidence and I'm going to try to jam it all together and pull some kind of truth out of it. Now, it may not be real truth. It may be something like the Star Trek transporter or something. You know, long before we get to the truth of things and real things, people come up with ideas for it. Democritus came up with the idea for the atom by cutting the cheese long before somebody really discovered the atom. So what I'm saying is possibly by jamming things together, I will poetically arrive at some sort of truth, and I'd like to do that today because after seeing and hearing the six bro country songs layered, after reading some plays and fiction by the Irish writer Samuel Beckett, and by having some kind of inexplicable virus these past week, I've come to the conclusion that these are the pieces I need to put together to make some kind of truth golem, some robot friend. I used to have that fantasy when I was a child a lot of times. I wish I had a robot brother. He'd come keep me company. And I'd talk to him and he'd understand me and all, and I didn't. I was an only child. Also had no parents either, just me. I had to pretend people come to the house. Oh, they're not here. No, I had family. I'm joking. But I was the only child, so I spent a lot of time, and we did not have computers in those days. We just had black and white TVs, which is like a computer, but you don't have to do anything. You just stare in it blankly with your head to one side and your mouth open. And I did that. Sometimes I would take advantage of my open mouth and shove Pop-Tarts in it. But often I just blankly stare at that TV. And I'd get a lot of ideas. They would come to me in no particular order, you know. You just say, oh, 1 minute's the Three Stooges. The next minute, it's something else. Let's say, more Three Stooges. Or perhaps, rarely, the Ritz Brothers. So those things are kind of similar to be able to... I know, you need more diversity than that. I would wait until there was an ad for Species Spice and Meatball Sauce and say, how does that fit together with Moe's incessant eye-poking? It must. It must tell us something about the world. Don't we? Isn't it possible, sometimes when you see just a small bit of something, to extrapolate what the whole is? You see those, and people would say, what is this a close-up of? It looks like cheese. And you pull back, and it's your granny or something. You pull back, and it's a butterfly. So in that case, no, the part doesn't reflect it, but with fractals, it does. So what is the world? Is it fractals, or is it your granny's cheese portrait? So I don't know what you're talking about, Hardy. Bless me, nor do I.
Sometimes I believe that I'm misunderstood, and I thank God for that, because if people actually understood me, I think I'd be in a lot of trouble. That's why I'm glad that I don't say things very clearly, because then you can take it and you can use it for what you want to use it for. It's like a box. A box has many, many, many uses, doesn't it? You can put your cat will get in it, say it's a bed, or you can put things in it or take things out of it or stack it up or put it on your head, say, look at here, I'm box head. And that should get a good laugh. I don't know if you're around four-year-olds or something, maybe not even then. But what I'm saying is I like to look everywhere for evidence of what's going on, friends. How to take pain out of this life. I wish I was a doctor, but I'm not. Sometimes I wish I was a preacher, but I'm not. Sometimes I wish that I could work on cars, especially any kind of computer things in the cars. But I'm not. I don't know, that didn't want to come out. That broke the flow, didn't it? I had a good poetic rhetorical flow going, and I messed it up by having too much detail. See, that's the way it is sometimes. I would rather look at a painting. So I think you have two choices when you have a painting. And that is either excessive detail or no detail at all. Because anything in between looks like, oh, you were trying to do one and failed. So I would rather you just work with what you have. If you have it all, and you can, if you're a Pre-Raphaelite, and you can paint that picture of the drowning Ophelia, and I can say that water looks like real water. That hair looks like real Ophelia hair floating in I don't know what. So, oh man, that looks exactly like Jane Morris, or one of the models that was in there, William Morris's ex-wife. Was it ex-wife? What are you talking about now, Hardy? Detail. Details. Too much or too little? So if there's little, then I am invited to the party and I can put things in there where I want to. That's my favorite art, is when I get to contribute. Just like songs that are like that. So some of the greatest songs, say, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Dude, what? That's your part. Clap. Oh, I'm in the show. I am happy. I just didn't know. I was trying to think for a minute whether I knew it or not. But anything that puts your left foot in, take it out, take it off, or whatever. I'd like to say sometimes one-legged people do that and doing the hokey pokey. They'll just kick off their prosthetic and they'll get hilarious when it happens. So many funny things that people can do when they're unique or differently abled. It just makes the world more interesting. I like to try to do things. So do you ever put both hands behind your back and say, how am I going to open this can like that? Say, how would I go about opening this can if I had both hands behind my back? And I'd say, Sister Johnson, open the can for me. I had a nephew one time. I guess he may be two. He's just potty training, but he could talk. And he yelled, wipe me, like that. And I looked around, and dang if I wasn't the only family member in the house. I said, no, I'm going to wipe yourself. I don't know how. Oh, Lord, did they have tutorials or something for that? Please go on. They didn't have the internet yet. This is years ago. So I'm like frantically searching for a pop-up book. How to wipe your bottom or something. I said, man, I can't do that for you. You know, there's guys yelling in, use the bidet. And he said, what? So eventually you do have to go outside of your comfort zone. What's your comfort zone, Hardy? It's really my couch. Anything outside of that is outside of my comfort zone, so it's easy for me. I'm pretty much always having difficulty. And I don't mean like I'm uncomfortable, like mildly. Everything sometimes very heartwarming. Now, I have to do it anyway because I'm a little bit addicted to survival. I think I'm not quite ready to lay down and die. So I'd say, yeah, get off that couch, feed yourself, things like that. And I don't mind one bit because it's better than the alternative. What's the alternative? Having an army of servants. No, it's not better than that. There must be other alternatives, because that one, it is not. It would be nice to have servants.
I don't know if I'd feel guilty or not. I've gone back in time. As you know, I do a little time traveling. So I thought you weren't good at computer science. You don't know. Thank goodness you do not need one. Computers just kind of hold you back. Any kind of equipment holds you back in the time traveling. I've learned that. It's harder to get a piece of machinery back in time than it is your consciousness. It just won't do it. And the same thing I've tried with the go. Why don't you go back in time and buy a bunch of gold cheaply? I cannot get anything back with me. I have tried. I can go back and I can say things and interact, but I can't manage to bring anything back with me. Same with the future. I don't know why that is. I haven't figured it out. I'm really more an experiential person. You know, I can tell you what happened to me, but I can't tell you why. That I leave to the scientists. And so, what are you, Hardy? Are you a poet? No. I'm nothing. I'm not nothing. I'm something. But I'm just not. Just an ordinary mind trying to piece together all the evidence I've been given. And I know that it's not the whole kit. I know that somebody has, for my birthday, given me a model Corvette, but they bought it on the cheap, and there's parts missing, and I'm not going to get a whole car. So what I build has to have a sense of wholeness. So I open up the box, and I look at the pieces, and I yell in my loudest, most confident voice, Gestalt! Gestalt! And the pieces come together, and they make something in the Corvette, but it's whole. And I can look at it, and I can say, there's something about that that's going to help me. I know there is. I put it together. And look at it now. It's something. The other day, I was thinking about this song, this layered country song. And as you know, I like to think a lot about science and the nature of things and everything and how we got here. People have an awful lot of questions about that. You know, some people have specific questions like what stocks and bonds and all should I buy? And I say, well, you know, depends what time you're in, because I could give you an exact date and I would, you know, and say Hewlett Packard, but we're talking the 90s. So just, you know, it depends. I can't give you that kind of advice. But what I can do for you is tell you all about my experience, and maybe you can learn something from it, take something from it. Just like robbers. You know, go into a house. What would you choose to steal? If stealing wasn't very, very bad, or if I said, oh, there's an estate sale and everything's free, and you can come into this house and it's all the person's possessions, all their things, and you can take anything you want for free. It's not against the law. Just take anything you want. What would you take? I know what I would do. I'd immediately go to their photo albums. And I would take all their photos, not their stuff. I want their memories. I want to see them. I want to see their faces. I want to see what they did. I'm going to look into other lives. I like being a voyeur like that. I like to see what others are doing. Am I the only one? Am I alone? Am I the only one who does this? And so I'd get those pictures and I'd take them. And then I would take them back to my house and I would do this experiment. I would take every single one of those pictures, hundreds and hundreds perhaps, and I would put them, I would convert them to transparencies that were about 8 inches by 8 inches square. Then I would take every single picture in transparency, and I would start laying them on each other and holding them up to the light. When I put the first two together, I have an interesting juxtaposition of children at a pool and old people at a table. I put a third one together, and things get a little bit more blurry then. I can't quite make things out, but there's still some white spaces, and I can still sort of see the table and sort of see the pool. But this time, there's also a man and a woman standing by a railing near Niagara Falls. Fourth picture, fifth transparency. Once I get them all into a stack, I look at it, and it's black. It's solid. It's just one solid color, and it's dark. And I think to myself, that is a singularity. That is everything happening at once. It's nothing. Only when I take them apart, only when I slice up that singularity into slices of time, Can I see anything's happening at all?
Yes!
So when I jumble all this music together, you can't hear it. It just becomes one din. Unless there's space in there. But when you take away all that, it just becomes a singularity. Just like the universe might have been when it began. And then it fractured. And I thought, you know, we make decisions too. So I like to read about philosophy that I don't understand, because I think, well, at least it'll tell me something. Even if I misunderstand it, I'll have some kind of creative misunderstanding and I can do something with it. If you gave me a nutcracker and I didn't know what it was for, it'd still come in useful for hitting roaches. I can use anything for something. Might not be what it was intended to be used for, but it can still be useful to you. So don't worry if sometimes you think, my intellect is not great enough to grasp things. Doesn't mean you have to arbitrarily just believe anything either. Just become content with not knowing. I'm so comfortable with being an idiot now that don't call yourself an idiot. Oh, I don't mean it at all, self-deprecating way. No, not at all, not at all. I'm very happy with myself. I'm very happy with my idiocy. And I think I'm doing a great service to my fellow man by realizing it. Say, man, I don't have the answers. Please do not listen to me. I know that it might make my ego feel good. Say, sometimes when I was a child, I wanted to be a king and I'd line up all my stuffed animals. You had stuffed animals? I had stuffed animals up until about, 11 or 12. And I would line them up on my bed and I would be their king. And I was so benevolent. I couldn't even bring myself to make them do anything. I'd say, I'm your king. Do whatever you want. But all I ask from you is that you love me and that you don't reject me. That's all I want. So I feel like, I'll have that kingship all the time if I want it. As long as I don't have any demands or try to move people around, make them do stuff. Oh, I tell you what, when I was thinking of Burden's ass. So there's this problem of this ass. What were you saying, ass? It's a donkey. And the donkey is between two bales of hay. And he's hungry. But he's right in the middle. And he can't make up his mind which one, because they're both equal. So he just stays in the middle and starves. He gets stuck because the decision, not one decision is better than the other. So he can't make it. Apparently this is a very sophisticated problem in computer science and everything. It's really wasted on me. Because I look at that, I'm one of them simpletons that looks at that story and say, nothing's equal. Nothing's equal when the people choosing it are ignorant. Because there's no way that you would be able to understand the equality of it, and one of them would always win because you'd think it was better. It was the preference. So is that free will? I don't know about free will. I think we have free will and not free will at the same time. If you think you're free, you're free. You're virtually free. So even if the universe is conspiring to make you do things, you don't know that, so it doesn't matter. Do what you will. And your will be the will of the universe. Oh, these all sound good things. Every time I say something that sounds like mystical like that, disregard it. What you should be listening for are like, how do I make my own homemade mustard? Things like that. Then your ears should prick up and you write things down. But when I say things that just sound right, just laugh along with me and let them wash over you and give you that good feeling like music does. When you hear a silly song or a lighthearted pop song, just let it move you. Don't think, well, that doesn't make any sense, or that's not sophisticated. Just let it move you. When I was listening to those country songs, a lot of people were being derisive, saying, this is formulaic or whatever. But, you know, sometimes formulas are wonderful. I drank a lot of formula as a child. So just because modern country music is a Similac of art, you know, it doesn't mean it's bad. They call things, say, always say pablum like it's a bad word. Is it? It might be. I don't know. It's somebody. It does sound like a. If it have some extra vowels in there, I'd say, well, that's some Samuel Beckett vocabulary word. I have to use a dictionary when I read that man. I think I speak English until I read something like that and say, I do not know what a bostoon is. I do not know what a puella is. You know what I'm saying? Viduity. What is viduity? But then I look it up, and that is when, oh, you say, why do you go off on tangents? So tangents are fun, because I start looking things up, and then I have to look something else up, and then before you know it, I'm absolutely, utterly lost in that wonderful way where you get lost on purpose, and you go to a small town or something, or maybe a small town in France, and you say, you know what? I'm going to head off down this road, and I'm going to get lost on purpose. I'm just going to keep making right turns. And say, well, that's no way to get lost, because you're immediately going to be back where you started. Maybe. Or maybe not. But that's the kind of wandering I like to do. I like to let my mind wander. Oh, you see trees, Branch? I think if everything were meant to go in one direction, trees would just be poles. They wouldn't have any branches. Roads would have no turnoffs. They'd just be straight lines. But that's not how things work. Nerves. Nerve cells, which look exactly like trees, like dendrites. Oh, the dendrite is my symbol. My symbol is a family tree. My symbol is a pedigree. My symbol is a branch of a tree. Because I know that that is how we're connected, friends. You and I. You don't want to believe it, but we share common ancestors. We're family. Not just metaphorically, we are literally family. And I would like to say something to all my family. Find peace in your hearts now. And I'd like to say this to all religious people of the world. I don't know about your heaven. I don't know if there's a heaven or not. But I don't want you to live your life like there is. Say, why not, Hardy? I want to live my life good and have a reward in the afterlife. I'll tell you what, that'd be great if you were living your life good. But your good might be not be my good. Cutting off heads of infidels, to me, is not good. And it might get you to heaven, but it ain't going to get me to heaven. And let me tell you something. You, my friend, are in heaven. It doesn't seem like heaven. There's death and destruction and everything. I tell you what, because you don't know what heaven is. You're in it, and you're wrecking it. These moments are precious. These transparencies of our family photos are precious. You look at that. When you get older, you look at those pictures of your family when they're young. You see little children that you know are long dead. They might be your cousins, your brothers, your sisters. And you say, how precious was that moment to me? Was I there? Was I in it? Oh, please fake loving one another. Please fake loving one another. How'd I do that? Well, I forced my body into joy. When I feel anger, I feel frustration, I feel sadness, I force my body into joy and I clap my hands. I clap my hands and say, you're making a fool of yourself. I don't care how my make a fool of myself every week. I come on the radio, I say what's on my mind. I do not care how I sound as long as I know my heart's opening up and I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to show you what I already did. And then maybe you'll say, boy, that makes me feel better. If we could just take that fear, I wish I could reach into your heart and take that fear out. How's it get? I might have to take, it might be like getting gum out of hair. I might have to, it's like, oh, this is going to take a while. Because that fear seems like it's all mucked up in the hair and I don't want to cut your hair. So I'm going to take every strand and get that gum off. Ew. Oh, man. I mean, disgusted myself with that. Oh, life could be. Oh, it's terribly disgusting. isn't it? How can it be heaven if we're pooping all the time like that? I don't know. I was thinking the other day, I was out walking my dog, and my dog took a bowel movement, and I looked down at that dog's stool, and in it, it was marbled with orange wax, and the dog had apparently eaten a crayon. Where the dog came upon a crayon, I do not know. But it had eaten it, and its stool had become this wonder. It looked like there's a, did you ever find an emerald? Or somebody says a vein of emerald going through the, that's what this was like, except instead of granite, it was poo, and instead of emerald, it was crayon. And I thought, oh, I wonder if this will become a coprolite, a poo fossil, that in the future, scientists will find, and they will say to themselves, there must have been creatures who lived on crayons. That must have been their diet. I was thinking about that when anthropologists or whatever, paleontologists have found, like Australopithecus afarensis or something. And they say, oh, this is what people must have looked like. And I was thinking maybe back then other people were thinking, man, I wonder that hairy little ape-like Jenkins family, I wonder if they'll find them in a million years and think that's what we all look like. And they laughed and everything. And the Jenkins family came over and went, what are you all laughing at? Nothing. But I'm sure that's not the case. But you never know. You know, when you just see part of a picture, you don't get the whole thing. So I think I know. I think I know for sure. Oh, never be sure. Walk around like Hardy White, full of doubt and full of confusion, but satisfied with that state, that exciting state, where all sorts of ideas and poems are flying down like leaves blowing off a tree. Chaos. Look at that wind hit that tree in the fall, and the leaves go flying, and I can't follow them with my eyes because they're going in all different directions. Wonderful chaos, wonderful turmoil. Only God knows their paths. I don't want to know it. I'll just follow one leaf. I will just track the life of one leaf as it floats to the ground there. I will just concern myself with one small portion like that, but I will never mistake that leaf for the tree. My friends, I am, when I say I'm blessed, what I'm really saying is, what the heck? So what does that mean? I don't know if anybody individually has given me anything. I don't know if the universe is actually knows I'm here, particularly. So that I don't know I can be blessed in that way. So what I say is, when I say I'm blessed, what I mean is somehow I have found myself in the midst of love. Somehow I've found myself in the midst of caring. Somehow I've found myself in a place where I'm not alone. And to me, that's amazing. And we cannot lose sight of this. I don't talk about politics ever. Say, oh, talk about world events or politics. I can't. I don't understand the language that's being used. I don't understand. I'm not getting a full picture. I have a hard enough time figuring out what's going on with dynamics just among friends or in family like that. I can't figure out what whole populations or religions are thinking at every given time. I cannot solve the world's problems. I have no idea what slogan to shout out. I have no idea what labels to put on myself to make it more convenient for people to figure something out. I walk around like a clown then and just try to help those I see immediately. That's the only thing I can think of doing. That's the only thing I can think of doing. Because if I lend my voice to the crowd, it's just going to sound like all voices together. I have trouble falling asleep sometimes, so I've taken to listening to white noise. A lot of people say, oh, that's what I call your show, Hardy. Thank you. But I listen to this white noise, which is static. Now, you can adjust the static in all sorts of ways to give you all sorts of pitches and characteristics and everything. So I listen to a lot of nothing as I go to sleep. And as I listen to a lot of nothing, I start to hear voices in the static. Now, are these really ghosts or voices? No. It's a hallucination. And the reason that I'm hallucinating is my brain really wants to hear something. So if it hears a familiar frequency or a pattern, it starts making it into speech. Not speech that I can understand, but I'll be listening to the static and I'll hear buzzing, and I listen so hard trying to just hear one word, and I can't make out even one word. Just like that. Because I'm trying to pull something out of this sound, which is everything at once. I'm trying to cut it up and slice it so it'd be more convenient. That's why we slice bread, because we used to shove entire loaves of bread in our mouth in the path. People would choke and die. And then one time a guy says, you know, we ought to just like slice it or even just tear it into tiny pieces. And his friend went, oh, a good idea. I said, yeah, okay. So we began to know that we might need to digest things in smaller pieces, don't we? Do not bite off more than you can swallow. Do not take more upon yourself than you're able to handle. Know your limitations. Don't try to be more than. Don't try. I don't try to be. I would love people to think I was an intellectual. And I still, you hear my ego all the time, a dropping names or something. I have read this book, but you don't know if I understood it. Or I could actually be lying. But I desperately want you to think that I'm smart enough or good enough or talented. Everybody wants that. And so I only show you the parts I want to show you. But when I walk away from this microphone, I do all sorts of things that are stupid and inconsistent and everything. So I'm still trying to show you what I want to show you. I can't fully even know that I am a walking dead man. That I'm not going to be here forever. And that there's really no, I'm not going to see you. There's no consequence. I am Chateaubriand riding from out of the tomb. Trying to tell you the truth, and I still can't tell you the truth. I still feel like I'll be judged. I still can't let go of that, even though there's no reason for it, isn't it? I'll tell you what, it's so difficult to be honest like that. And what's that tell you? That means I'm probably not even being honest to myself. Oh, telling the truth to yourself, isn't it a lifelong process? I wish you could see all the absolutely absurd head movements I make when I'm speaking to you. I really do. Sometimes I'll glance myself in the mirror and say, you're a Looney Tune, my friend. And that for that, I have no response. Because I don't know what to say to myself. I don't want to put myself down or anything. I just smile. Mm-hmm. So you just smile like that too and nod. When my granny had a lot of strokes. She was collecting strokes near the end of her life. You don't get any points for that. But she became so disabled, all she could do is sort of half smile and nod at you like that. And you had no idea whether she's understanding you or what's there anymore. Just smile and nod like that. Oh, because she still desperately wanted you to know that she had dignity and she was there. We all hold on to that. I'm a person. And my life is fragile. Why aren't you taking my potential death seriously? I was just telling a story to a friend recently. And we were talking about fake funerals or, you know, being alive at your own funeral and that sort of thing. And I recalled a story of an acquaintance of mine who was a young person, but who was dying of cancer. And so she decided, rather than have everybody come to a big gathering after she was dead that she couldn't appreciate, she had a party for all her friends and acquaintances and everything before she went, while she was still relatively okay. Now, she was weeks from death, but she was well enough to talk, interact, smile, and laugh. And so she rented out, her friends rented out the American Legion Hall and had a big party, and I went. And she sat somewhere near the stage. I just wrote, man, if you're Charles, I just wrote this to you in a letter. I swear I had no intention of saying it, but I thought it reminded me. I thought I got to tell everybody because it might help them. So I went to this party, and I was much younger then, and I couldn't go talk to her. I was so afraid. I don't know what I was afraid of. I mean, she wasn't going to hold it against me. Ever. She was going to be gone in weeks. If I said something stupid, it wouldn't be like, oh, I'll always remember that stupid thing Hardy said. So I let my fear win. I let my lack of courage win, and I stood there just by the front door speaking with friends for a few minutes, and then I left. And then weeks later, she died. And I want to say, we weren't close friends or anything. More friends of friends. But I've never forgotten that lost opportunity. And then I thought, what if that was me? What if that was me sitting there waiting for you? An acquaintance. Somebody I wanted to see for one last time. If the end of life isn't precious, what is? If imminent death isn't precious, if the end of things isn't precious, then what matters at all? Time runs out. There's no tomorrow often. I might be dead tomorrow, so might you. Somebody hearing this show will. I have lost people that I've known just through the show. They'll write me, I'll be friends on Facebook, and then you get that announcement. We've lost so-and-so. And it blows my mind. Like, boy, what if I hadn't answered that email? I would have missed some joy and love. So many of us, don't be, are you crying, Hardy? I don't give a damn. Sometimes, yes, I can go from crying to laughing in an instant. I don't care. I'm not doing it for ratings or anything. But when you speak from the heart, sometimes your heart explodes. Because you're going, your heart's going, I ain't a mouth. And you go, shut up. You go, I ain't a mouth. And if I do, blood's going to come shooting out your chest. And you don't want to do that. Nobody wants to get hosed down by a fire hose of blood like that from some gushing sentimental idiot. But then again, why not? Why not? Like I said, I don't embarrass easily because I've seen so many human beings. You can't embarrass. I remember thinking my grandmother was so strong because she had no gag reflex. There was nothing about life that was too messy for my grandmother. She could say my aunt had a miscarriage right there at home. She fixed it as you cleaned her up. She'd do anything. You could go, Granny, I pooed my pants and I'm vomiting. She'd come in with a rag, wipe it all up. There was nothing. This woman was immune because of her love. She was immune to disgust because of her love. She was fearless because of her love. Are you? No. Bunch of cowards. I am. I'm never going to be like that, I think. I don't know. This is my act of bravery, is making a fool of myself. I don't want to be an actor or a movie star or anything. You know? I'm on TV briefly. I don't want to be back on TV. That ain't for me, man. That ain't for me. I don't want to be like that. I want to be your friend. I can't be your friend if I'm always jumping up on the stage making a fool of myself. Sometimes I got to get down there and hold your hand. Can't do that if I'm separated from you. I'm leaving these as notes. Hardy's notes from the grave. And you might laugh at me, and that's okay. Wasn't meant for you, probably. If you laugh at something, not when you're supposed to laugh. Not when I make like a crayon duty joke. Say, oh, I laughed at that. Good. Good. Also, I laughed when you started crying a little bit. Oh, ouch. But that's fine. That's fine.
You know, I'm not a very strong person, but I'm resilient.
Huh? Some people can go on. I've known people who've stayed sickly their whole lives and then lived a long time, but they've never been robust and healthy. And then I just had somebody I knew robust and healthy and just dropped dead at 49.
Who knows what what life has in store for us capable of. Oh, you're bringing me down with all this talk. Oh, cheer me back up, cheer me back up.
I'm cheering you up because I'll tell you, I'm going to give you some good news. We're alive right now. We're alive right now. Nobody can stop us. Also, I'll tell you something else about possibilities. Right now, everything is possible in the future. Everything. Peace. Love. All that. Living together. Understanding, tolerance, all possible, all possible. None of it say, well, it's not human nature. I'm making human nature. I'm a human. I'll tell you what's human nature. Don't tell me what's human nature. Don't tell me I'm damned to hate my neighbor. Don't tell me I'm damned to murder. Don't tell me I'm damned to be jealous. Don't tell me that's my fate. I'll tell you my fate. I'll tell you what it is. I'm human. I'll tell you what my human nature is. I want to live with you in peace. I want to be your brother. That's what I want. I want us to share our food. I want us to share our table together. I want to stop seeing the differences. That's not, don't tell me what's human nature. I'll tell you what is. Because I'm a human and you're a human and we count. And we count. And people are going to, there's people are going to be bulls in china shops. There's people going to be jumping on the starboard side of the boat. There's going to be jackasses like that. What do we do? I don't know. I have no clue. I have no clue. All I can give you is I believe, a philosophical and scientific basis for hope. I think it can all, but I don't know how, but I know that it can be reduced to mathematics. I know that it has something to do with possible worlds. I know that it has something to do with my analogy of laying transparencies on one another. I know we can do this. You don't hear me talking about a specific tragedy because I'm a time traveler and I've seen tragedies going back since the beginning of time. So these are just more the same. And I'm not going to mention them by name because you'll think that they're not, that one's more important than the other. But it isn't. Who's the most important stooge? Mo? Larry? Curly? Shemp? Curly Joe? Joe? Emil Sitka? I know I threw Emil Sitka in there. I think that's all right. I think that's right to do. Who's the most important one? No, they're not. It's called the Three Stooges. Right? It's not called the Two Stooges plus One or something like that. All three. You need all three of them. It's a trinity. Right? Comedy in three persons. The Mo, the Larry, the Curly Joe. I'd say Curly, but Curly Joe just sounds better. Not my favorite, to be honest. Oh, my gosh, I have a favorite rich brother. I said, man, you mention them very often. Don't even, bless their hearts, not my cup of tea. I don't know whether it's dated or something, but it's just a little bit off. Too much mugging, I think. Oh, I can't believe we're friends. I can't believe it. I told a friend to listen to your show. I thought you were gonna do funny voices. And then you got real heavy. Oh, I apologize if that's the case. I hope not. I didn't want it to get heavy. Oh, I wanted to lighten your heart. I wanted to be here to be your friend, help you out. But I also feel compelled every time I step up to this microphone to be as fully human as I can possibly be and not to be fake. Well, that's ironic. I know.
That to be fully human, I have to be fake in a way. I have to step away from my real self and be a radio character in order to be fully human. Isn't that of funny. Isn't that funny? Why is it so hard? Why are we so afraid? What are we afraid of? What would it take to make you the bravest person in the world? An iron suit? Indestructibility? X-Man powers? What would it take to make you the bravest person in the world? What are you really afraid of? Really? Time to find out. Time to find out. Time to be a superhero. Time to be a human. Time to love one another. Not just words. Commandments. Oh, you bring me so much joy. You know, if I was lonely and I was on a bus, I'd want to probably talk to the person next to me. And really, all I'd really want from them is to listen. They don't have to react or give me an answer. I just want them to know that I'm alive and it's important and it's precious. And that we all have dignity. And that we're all the same. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. So I heard Hardy White. Hardy White told me to be silly. Hardy White told me to have joy in my heart. Hardy White told me that fear is holding me back. And yet he didn't require me to believe one single thing. I didn't require you to believe anything I say. I don't require at all. I require nothing of you. I have no philosophy. I'm just here to show you me and say, oh, if this helps at all, if you can take Hardy and make it part of the poem of your life, do it. Do it. Use me. Paste me. Make me in a collage. Take off my head and stick it in a beautiful three-dimensional collage. Oh, yes, it's a little dark. I like things that are a little dark. I'm not afraid of that. I like things that are a little scary. I like things that are a little macabre. I like all the dark places of life and the light places of life, too. Oh, mercy. What am I listening to, sir? Well, it's Miracle Nutrition, and I'm Hardy White, and this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in Rockland County, and that's a miracle, and I hope that you feel nourished, and I hope that you tune in when you need to tune in. But not every week, because it's the same show over and over and over. And I don't mind. Oh, bless you. You have my put my hands up so I get full of myself. One of the stories I read by Beckett was a man who goes back and listens to old tapes he made every birthday. And one birthday picks a tape to listen to just after he had left love. He had broken up with a woman because he was sure that he was going to have greater happiness in the future, and then he didn't. So he listened back in old age at this branching, at this bifurcation of his happiness. I tell you, friends, I want you to listen to those tapes of your life and never give up hope and never give up the pursuit of the happiness. And if I can help you, I will, and you will honor me if you let me. Please tune in again next week. Listen to this station all the time, and it will magically solve. Truly, though, WFMU will magically solve all the world's problems. We just have to get every single person to listen. So try to do that. Go out and be an evangelist for WFMU And we'll fix the world. Bless you. See you next week.